It's been said that life imitates art. Do you find that to be true? Are there chestnuts roasting on your open fire? Is Jack Frost nipping at your nose? I don't totally know what that means. I don't know if it's okay or not, but if he is, tell someone. Is this the most wonderful time of the year? Kids jingle belling, everyone telling you be of good cheer. Do you wish somebody would just pass the figgy pudding already? So I don't know if it's true that life imitates art. But to be safe, if Grandma is walking home from your house Christmas Eve. Yeah. So I don't know if it's true. Maybe life does imitate art. What I do know is true is these familiar Christmas songs we sing, they are a quintessential part of the season. Right? They stir memories from years past, whether it's laughter or tears. They have that power of holding those emotions. Right? Songs are powerful in that way. The songs we sing together here in worship are powerful. Like, who today needed to be reminded that the unfaithful ones can come to God, that He wants us? Man, I need to be reminded of that. Our whole last sermon series, Lewis Pollard, a campus pastor, he taught us every week, he said, the love of God pursues you even when you don't pursue Him. So we need to hear that, sing that, though you are unworthy, unfaithful, God says, come to me, I want you. Songs are powerful. The writer of the book of Revelation describes worship in heaven. He said, I heard the voice of thousands and millions of angels in heaven and every creature on earth and under the earth and in the sea singing in a mighty chorus, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one on the throne. That means one day we will praise, we will sing in God's presence. We sing to Him together now. We remind ourselves who He is. We lift our prayers to Him through song, and there is power in the songs that we sing. So it's with that understanding that today we begin our Advent Christmas, those two different things. We begin our Advent sermon series based on the songs of Christmas. We're going to look at four songs that teach us about the hope, peace, joy, and love that Jesus brought to this world and that He brings. Now, Advent means coming. In the season of Advent, that's today through Christmas, we focus on the fact that Jesus came to this world. He came to redeem and save us. He left heaven and came into our brokenness, into our pain. He came into our violent world to bring hope and peace and joy, and love. And the Bible tells us He will come again, that He will come back for His people, that everyone who trusts Him as Savior, He will come back for, and there will be no more crying or pain because He will make all things new. Amen? So in this season of Advent, we thank God that He came, we anticipate that He will come again, and we're going to look at four songs that teach us more about those truths. Let's pray and we'll look at our first song. God, thank You for the power of Your word that can do everything we long for. It can show us who You are and what You've done. It shows us who we are in light of that we are known and loved, that we are Your children. Thank You for the songs we sing based on the truth of Your word. Would You use Your word to change us, draw us closer to You? May we just see Jesus and nothing else. In His name we pray. Amen. Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays. For no matter how far away you roam, if you want to be happy in a million ways for the holidays, you can't beat home sweet home. Yeah, I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. I'll be home for Christmas if only in my dreams. And a big part of the warmth and comfort of Christmas is based around being with people you love and being home. Well, the song we look at today embodies the longing for home. Before we look at the song, we're going to look at a little history, a little context to see where the song sits. We're going to rewind the tape, as it were. You know what that is? A VHS tape rewinder. That's a high-quality item. It's from Radio Shack. If you're too young to know what that is, you're too young to know how hard our generation had it. But let's rewind the story. At the beginning of the Bible, God chose the nation of Israel to be his people. He led them out of slavery. He made a covenant promise with them, and he led them to the land he had sworn to give them. Eventually, he led them into the promised land. The land was beautiful. It was flowing with milk and honey. But what truly made it special was the presence of God. God's presence in the land made it home. However, as we tend to do as people, they wanted more. They rebelled against the true God, and they started worshiping false idols. They forgot their promises to God and started living just to satisfy selfish desires. So they were attacked by surrounding nations, eventually led out of the promised land by their enemies. They were taken captive and led into exile. Exiled from their home that they loved, but more devastating than that, exiled from God. Because you see, God promises to be with us, so even in exile, his spirit went with them. But in the promised land, his presence dwelt in the temple there. So they were exiled from that. They found themselves in a foreign land, longing for home. They missed their physical home, but they longed for their true home, which was with God. Now, the prophet Isaiah had warned them about this. He said, your rebellion against God will result in you being driven out of the promised land. He warned them, and he gave them this encouragement. He says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. There's a child who would come to save the people. His name would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. The greatest promise that God would be with the people, they would be home. Emmanuel, God with us. The people of Israel knew their true home was with God. So that's the context for our first song of our sermon series, O Come, Emmanuel. Before we look at the words, let's listen to the music. The origin of the music's a little murky. We're not totally sure where it came from. But one thing is certain, it's dark. It's written in a minor key. It's somber. If you're not familiar, I'll play the tune for you. It's a haunting air. Right? It's dark. It's written in a minor key. The most basic explanation of minor is it's sad. Like major is happy. Minor is sad. Right? A major sound wishes you a happy birthday. A minor sound warns you of an approaching shark. Right? Songs have a balance of major and minor sounds, right? Minor, major, minor, major. Every chord has a function of one or the other, so it creates some tension and release. And each chord is either major or minor, unless you're the Beatles. And you can do both. But O Come, Emmanuel has this dark and somber sound that captures the place God's people were in, away from home and away from God. So now let's look at the words to our song. It's made up of seven verses. Verse 1 puts us in the context of where God's people are in exile. O come, Emmanuel, in ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. The people are lonely. They're in mourning. They're longing for God's presence. Look at how each verse pleads for God to come. All seven verses, they all start, oh, come. And these titles are all descriptions of who God is. God is wisdom. He's the bright and morning star. He's the one who brings light into darkness. Every verse shows the character of who God is. And here's what happens. The more we know God, the more we need God. There was a time when you didn't think you needed God, or maybe you're there today. Right? You're tough. You're strong. Life's hard, but you're harder. You're holding it together, right? Like, those people need God, but you're good. God's for those people who really need him, but, you know, you're doing okay. And then there's a phone call. You know, sometimes we forget our cell phones can actually ring. And it's not a text, it's a call, and you know before you answer, something's wrong. There's been an accident. In a moment, everything's changed. Chaos comes into your control. Or maybe you just haven't been feeling like yourself, like something's been off, and the doctor gives you a diagnosis, gives you a label. Right? You never thought much of death or eternity, but mortality has barged into your mind and it demands to be dealt with. Or maybe your spouse comes to you and just says they're not feeling it anymore. Life would be easier with somebody else, right? They want to feel in love again. The life you had knit together is unraveling. Well, the verses of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel invite God into that brokenness of life. So has chaos stormed in your control? Or have your thoughts or your days become dark? That's okay. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah tells us about Emmanuel, the God who is with us. It says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. In the darkness, Emmanuel, God with us. In our brokenness, Emmanuel, God with us. In our mistakes, in the choices we've made, Emmanuel, God with us. And that changes everything. We hear it in our song. The verses plead for God's presence. And then in a sweet relief, in a break of the tension, the refrain tells us to rejoice because God will come. Rejoice. Rejoice. Emmanuel will come to you. We hear it in the words. We hear it in the music. Remember, we're here in this dark place. And when we're told to rejoice, we hear this. Right? We come out of this minor key sadness into the joy and the hope of a major key. Rejoice. Have hope. Lift up your head because God will come, Emmanuel, God with us. So let's step away from our song, pick back up our story with God's people. God's people did return to their home. They lived again with God in the promised land. Emmanuel did come and ransom captive Israel. This is a great story of God's faithfulness, right? Of him rescuing his people and bringing them home. What does it mean for us today? It's not just something written on these pages. It is something that is alive and powerful for us today. So here's where we get a little heavy, okay? By our very birth into what is a broken world, we are in exile. Because God created a perfect world. Then sin entered, and then we were separated from God. We are in exile from God because of sin. Sin is a word that's worth stopping and looking at. Because sometimes we kind of take comfort in defining what sin is or isn't. Right? Like, can I look at this, but not look at this and avoid sin? Right? Or can I do this thing, but only do so much of this thing, and it's not a sin? Unfortunately, sin is not contained in a list. Sin is anything that separates us from God, right? Anything that takes God's place in our heart and drives us away from him is sin. Anything that we think or say or do that takes us further away from God rather than closer to him is sin. And that means we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That verse is not just a condemnation that you go, oh, ouch. That is a fact. We're all sinners and we fall short of the glory of God. The glory of God. That is the endless wonder and beauty of who God is, his immeasurable creativity and his perfection, his breath that breathed all creation into existence from nothing, his hands that poured out the oceans and then told them where to stop, his power that created a lion, and then his tenderness, who cares for a baby in the womb. As mere humans, you and I fall short of that glory. So we are separated. We are exiled from God. That is our condition as people born into a sinful world. We can't do anything to fix it. Our good behavior, our church attendance cannot heal the wound we receive when we're born into a sinful, broken world. But we are given a promise from Isaiah. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Emmanuel, God with us. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel has come to you, O Lindale. We can't save ourselves, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And by grace, you have been saved. God so loved the world, he so loved you, that he sent his son. A child was born. His name was Emmanuel, God with us. His name is Jesus. So when everything falls apart, Emmanuel, God with us. When we say, God, I've got nothing, I need you. Emmanuel, God with us. All the years we've avoided him, he was there. All the times we've turned our back on him, he was there. Right here, right now, he is here. We are all pilgrims passing through this land to an eternal home. And like the people of Israel, our true home is with God. Our home is with God, and God is with us. And our doubts, and our fears, and our addiction, and our pain, and our joy, and our laughter, God is with us. If you've never accepted God's love, he is with you. And maybe you cringe because you've done some terrible things. He came to redeem that. When he gave his life for you, he knew all of it. Even the details you may have forgotten, he knew. And he said, I will give my life to redeem yours. He is with you. Or maybe you trusted Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you were baptized like we've been having so many baptisms lately and you just left it there. You just been going through the motions, white-knuckling life ever since then. He longs for a relationship with you. He is Emmanuel, God with you. He is not mad at you. He is not distant. He is Emmanuel, God with you. So our song, O Come, Emmanuel, it movingly illustrates the tension between Jesus coming to this earth and his eventual return. And you and I today, we live in that tension. He came, he will return, and our home is right in the middle of those two. And there is tension in that. The price has been paid for our sin, right? What Jesus did accomplished that. Our sin is gone, but this world still celebrates sin. Death has no eternal power over us. Jesus robbed death of its power, but we still stand by helplessly as death steals people from our lives. We will be restored and made new one day, but disease still ruins bodies here. Our future is secure, but tomorrow still relentlessly stirs a pot of fear and worry. But O Come, Emmanuel helps us to see God's faithfulness in that tension by reminding us of who God is. God is Emmanuel, God with us. He's the key of David who rescues us from death. He brings light into darkness. He is the desire of nations, the savior of all people. So again, I say, what do we do with this knowledge? This song that takes its truth from the Bible teaches us that God is faithful in the tension of this life. So what do we do with that? Like if somebody asked you tomorrow, what did you learn at church yesterday? Would you say like, oh man, O Come Ebenezer is, no, that's not it. I don't know. This song is sad, but then it's happy. Right? True story. But what if we took these truths and hung on to them? Made a meal, made a Christmas casserole, if you will. I won't. I don't like casserole. But we can do a three-course meal, right? What can we use to tuck away the truths of this song into our hearts and our minds as we go back to a sinful world? First, Jesus redeems the past. One name for God in the song is the branch of Jesse's stem. That comes from a verse in Isaiah 11 that says, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit." What that means is a dead stump will bear fruit. A branch, a shoot, will grow from a dead stump. From death, there will be life. Jesus will redeem your past and bring life to what feels like death. From destruction, he will bring beauty. What you feel like has been destroyed in your past, Jesus redeems. Second, Jesus is present now. When Jesus told his people to follow him and encourage others to do the same, he made a promise and he said, "I will be with you always to the end of the age." He promised to be present. Grace Community Church exists to be people who follow Jesus and help others do the same, so we inherit the promise of his presence. He is with us. He walks every hard road with us, and we are not alone. So Jesus redeems the past. He's present now. And for our final course, Jesus owns the future. Our song also describes Jesus as the key of David. That's another reference from further in the book of Isaiah. It says, "I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. He shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open." So what does Jesus open? What does he shut? Well, if he owns the future, we look to the future, a description of seeing him in Revelation. The author says, "When I saw him, when I saw Jesus, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and he says, 'Don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave.'" Jesus holds the keys of death and the grave. So he shuts and locks the door of hell and he opens the gates of heaven. Jesus owns the future. He redeems the past, he's present now, and he owns the future. So what do we do with that? While we live in the tension that he came and he will return, what do we do with that truth? Every single one of us is here for a purpose, for a reason God established long ago, so this moment matters. What do we do with that truth? One more time, we're going to rewind. You got to be kind, rewind, right? So we go back to the book of Isaiah. The promise of Emmanuel, God with us, was first given to a king who was leading God's people when they were facing the threat of attack from an enemy. And God gave that promise to the king, and he said, "Now you have a choice to make. Do you want to trust the situation, or will you trust God? Right, do you want to lean on your strength or on the infinite power of the Almighty God?" He says, "Do you want to see your circumstance through the lens of a hopeless world or through Emmanuel, God with you?" So today we're given the promise of Emmanuel, God with us, as we face the attack from an enemy who would love to destroy us or discourage us or even just distract us. So you have a choice to make. Do you want to see your situation and your circumstance for being ultimate? Or seeing God as the one who is in control? Do you want to follow feelings that come and go? Or trust Emmanuel, the God who is with us and will never leave us or forsake us? When you get that phone call, right? In that moment when everything changes, when you hear that diagnosis, when you're hit with the hard news that unravels the threads of your life, God says, come to me because I came to you. He says, come receive my wisdom from on high. He says, I'm the bright morning star. I will bring light into your darkness. He says, I am the desire of nations. I will fulfill every need you have. He says, come to me because I am Emmanuel, God with you. Let's pray. God, thank you that you are here with us, that you redeem our past by your sacrifice, that you are present now as you have promised to be, and that you own the future, that you hold the keys of death and the grave, and you open to us the gates of heaven. God, we thank you for drawing us to you, for stepping into our brokenness to give us hope. God, thank you that we can come to you because of who you are. So God, we say, oh come, God with us, come into every dark place in my life. All the broken things, would you sink down deep into them? Would you redeem and restore all the places I don't believe, help me to believe. All the places I've pushed you away, draw me back. So God, we plead with you. Come, Emmanuel, into our hearts, into our lives, and we rejoice that you do. Amen. Do you stand and let's worship him together.
shall come to thee, O Israel.
The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who have dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. If you feel like you have been dwelling in darkness, to you there is hope. If you feel like you are just absolutely frustrated by living in a world where sin is celebrated, you are called to share that hope because Emmanuel, God, is with us. We leave this place, but we don't leave his presence. He promises to be with us. So God, help us as we leave here to know that you are near. God, to trust you, to seek you, to daily, to hourly, to every moment, just say, God, come into this moment. Help me to be open to what you're doing. Help me to realize my life is worship. Help us to see your goodness and your faithfulness, God, in the tension of where we live in life, and may we see your glory in it. As we leave this place, help us to know that we stay in your presence. So help us to not just go, but to thrive and to live. In Jesus' name, all the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you.